Somehow after death, we will have recognizable personalities. We will know the believers who went before us, and we will be reunited with them all. I can't imagine the glory of that.
How should we approach the subject of death? Do we just ignore it until the moment comes, or do we minimize its significance because of our new life in Christ? Well, on this edition of the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green offers a balance that we can glean from the book of John as he concludes a message titled, Your Final Act of Worship. It's part of the series, What Happens When You Die. Last time, Don gave us several points to consider to understand death, its certainty, its purpose, its spiritual underpinning. And we were advised to think rightly about death and commit our loved ones to Christ. Today, we'll see why we can actually look forward to what comes after this life. Have your Bible open and let's join Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
Go to John 21 here and look at verse 20 with me. Jesus had just told Peter, follow me. We'll come back to those words at the end of the message. But Peter, in verse 20, turned around and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. It's a self-reference that John the Apostle makes to himself. Peter turned around and saw John. He was following them. John is the one who had leaned back on Jesus' bosom at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? So Peter's looking at John just after Jesus had said, you're going to die by crucifixion, now follow me. Peter turns and sees John, and look at verse 21. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? And look at what Jesus said to him. If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Peter, get your focus right. You're following me. And Jesus tells Peter to be content with his own calling and to leave to God, God's will for other disciples of Christ. Jesus, listen, beloved, Jesus created your loved ones. Jesus guides their lives according to his own purposes. He has been gracious and wise with you. Understand that he will be gracious and wise with them even after you are gone. Leave them with Christ. Trust Christ, even for your most precious earthly relationships. When it comes time to leave this earthly life, you look at them and you say, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among the sanctified. Acts 20, verse 32. You realize that the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ so has your best interests at heart that even after you are gone, his ability to care for your loved ones will be completely uncompromised. And his goodness and mercy will live on after you have gone to heaven. You cannot prefer your loved ones to Christ. Jesus made that very plain in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, when he said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Part of what helps you let go when the process of dying is to realize that your singular, highest devotion of affection to Christ transcends even those that you leave behind. Your love for Christ must transcend your earthly relationships. Martin Lloyd-Jones's biographer, Ian Murray, wrote this about the great doctor's final days. As Martin Lloyd-Jones was approaching death, Ian Murray writes this. He says, as with every Christian husband, father, and grandfather, he had not found it easy to contemplate leaving a much-loved family. But now he had assurance that all would be well for them. He said, meaning Martin Lloyd-Jones, said this in the privacy of his home, from what I remember. to Ian Murray as death was nearby, Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, "When this illness came, I tended to worry as to what would happen to them. I have been delivered from it completely. I know that God can care for them very much better than I can, and that no longer troubles me at all." End quote. That's beautiful. That is glorifying God in the process of dying. Do you see that? That a man at the most critical hour of life looks at those that he's given his life to and loved, and he says, "I trust God so completely that I can leave them behind because I know God will have them in his hand and he will care for them." Listen, that is a supernatural reaction, response to the process of dying. Earthly people don't think that way. And by manifesting that kind of trust in God, you show forth the reality of the eternal life that he gave to you at the moment you believed. And understand this, my friends. I realize we're talking about really sensitive things here, things that go to the very deepest core of your heart affections in life. But understand this. You do not love your family less by entrusting them to Christ. You don't love them less because you love Christ more. This is all about the supremacy of Christ in your affections. This is all about trusting Christ, even for the most important things in life, and trusting Him for the most important things in life at the most important time in life. The time's going to come when I can no longer care for my family. I am going to have to say goodbye to them. I trust Him for that. He is able to care for them even better than you are. And so, part of the spiritual provision is letting go of this world. You commit your loved ones to Christ. You let go of this world. But let's get to the good stuff, huh? I want to get to the good stuff. And we're turning a corner now, and we're getting to the good stuff. Here's step number three in your provision, the spiritual provision for approaching death to the glory of God. Step number three is to look forward to heaven. Look forward to heaven. This is so awesome. First of all, why look to heaven? First of all, there is going to be a total absence of affliction. Heaven will bring the end to earthly suffering, earthly conflict. Those of you that struggle particularly with the besetting sin, and you're in Christ and you just wrestle against that and it grieves you, all of that struggle is going to be over. It's going to be gone. Never to trouble your heart again. Revelation 21, verse 4, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain." Affliction is going to be gone. The things that brought sorrow in this life, all of those broken relationships, it's all going to be gone. That's reason enough to look forward to heaven, isn't it? Look forward to that because it will strengthen you as death approaches. If your body is racked by decay as you approach death, realize it's just temporary. It's just a little bit longer, and then that's all going to be over. And heaven is going to be the release from the earthly suffering that you've known in this life. But secondly, there's another reason to look forward to heaven. I love this one. It's the presence of the saints. The presence of the saints. We will be reunited with those who have gone before us in the Lord, those who have died in the Lord. Scripture makes this clear. Scripture describes God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob long after they had died. Those distinct individuals, even after they had left this earthly life, God was still their God by name. At the Transfiguration, Peter recognized men he had never seen before. He recognized Moses and Elijah, even though they had lived centuries beforehand. He recognized them instantly. I don't know how that works, but it works, and it's going to be great to see them. Somehow, after death, we will have recognizable personalities. We will know the believers who went before us, and we will be reunited with them all. I can't imagine the glory of that. I am going to see for the first time in heaven my sister Debbie, who died before I was born. You know who else I'm going to see? I'm going to see Bob Moran and Bob Grindley and Mike Taylor and Carol Pass and all of these wonderful friends that I've had that died before I was ready to say goodbye to them. I'm going to be reunited with them. And if you're a Christian, just think about the names of those believers that you've loved that are no longer with you. The separation that we know now is a very brief parenthesis. And there is a permanent, eternal reunion that we are going to enjoy with them, where sin is banished, where separation and death will be no more. And the fullness of blessing and godly relationships will be on full display, never to be broken again, in ways that we can't even imagine. Listen, think about that and ask yourself the question, in light of what Scripture describes about that, would you really stay on earth in a broken body to miss that? You see, it's much more than simply saying, okay, this world is temporary and I can't stay here anyway. That's part of preparing for dying. But the greater power is in realizing what is to come and remembering that and thinking about it and bringing it to bear on your thinking and your total attitude about how you approach the end of life. Because that anticipation will undergird you when death approaches. I'm looking at the names of these friends that just meant so much to me in life. And I'm going to see them again. I can't wait. And if death comes a little sooner than what I think it will right now, I think I got another 25, 30 years. If it comes sooner, it just means the reunions are going to happen that much more quickly. And the loved ones, you that know Christ, that I'd be leaving behind, you know what? You're just going to get there a little bit later after me. You're going to follow afterwards. And Bob Grindley was dying. His wife, Doris, died many years before he did. Bob had a great sense of humor. I loved that about him. And he said he was concerned that when Doris saw him in heaven, he's going to say, man, what took you so long? I was afraid you weren't going to make it. All those reunions. I can't wait. But even that is not the best part. There's the best part we haven't even talked about yet. As you look forward to heaven, remember that heaven is going to be the presence of Christ. The presence of Christ. Faith will become sight, and it will more than compensate for everything that you leave behind. As good as life is here, as much as you love these earthly relationships, understand that there is no comparison to the glory that will be revealed to you. There is no comparison. We don't have language to express how magnificent and how glorious it is going to be to see Christ face to face, to see the wounds that were the price of your salvation, to see Him in glory, that all of the times of praying to Him, speaking to Him with no audible response, speaking to Him when you could not see Him and trusting Him because of what He revealed in His Word, all of a sudden it's all going to become sight. That is going to be so great that there is nothing on this earth that anything you would ever exchange for that vision. Glorious. You are going to see the face of the one who saved your soul. And this is not an appropriate way to express it, but as much as I'm going to look forward to those reunions with my sister and all of those other people who've been so precious to me over the years, there's a sense in which you would just push them aside to get to Christ, right? Those reunions, as great as they're going to be, even those glorious reunions with the other saints are going to pale in comparison to seeing Christ. Do you realize, if you're a Christian, have you thought about in the face of death that death is going to usher you into the presence of your Savior? And you will see him face to face. You will see him like he is, and you will be made like him by that glorious vision. You're thinking rightly about salvation if you say, boy, there's nothing that's worth staying here for. Paul expressed that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. He said, I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. As good as life is here for many of us, if you knew my family and the love that we share here on the front row, you'd know why I say that. As good as God has been to me in those loving family relationships, that's going to pale by comparison to being with the one who shed his blood for my soul. To see him face to face. And I don't know what that's going to be like. Sometimes I worry that there's going to be so many people around him that I'm not going to get to spend any time with him, you know? Say, man, I'm stuck in the back just like I'm stuck in traffic going to LAX. But that moment is coming. I'm going to look full into his face. And I'm going to be able to say, Jesus, thank you. And then I'll fall on my face at his feet and kiss his feet if I get that privilege. I don't know what it's going to be like. That is a moment worth living for. That is a moment worth dying for. Do you see that? Do you get that? Because if you get that, then you are equipped to be able to face death to the glory of God. To not be afraid, to face it with a supernatural sense of anticipation. One of the longtime church members, Roy Anderson, he was like 89 when he died, went and saw him just a couple of weeks before he died, knelt down beside his bed. He was clear mind. And I said, Roy, tell me your thoughts. Roy got it. He said, Don, I want to go be with the Lord. Sitting there, lying in bed, holding his wife's hand after 60-some years of marriage, holding her hand, but saying, Don, I want to go be with the Lord. That's it. That's glorifying God. It's not the dramatic aspect. It's not the dramatic things. It's in those quiet moments where you're expressing the deepest affections of your heart, that in that hour of extremity, the deepest affections of your heart would bubble forth with a confidence and a desire to go be with Christ, because that is so very much better. You say, are you sure that that's really going to happen? We'll go back to John 21. At some point, we need to be back in that text, don't we? Let me point out something that would be easy to miss here. Who was speaking to Peter at that time? Who was speaking to him? Jesus. But not just any Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. Jesus standing before him, having passed through death and conquered it with his resurrection. Jesus is the one who was calling Peter to this. And the resurrection of Christ guarantees the outcome for all of us who have put our faith in him. when Christ called Peter to glorify God in death, Christ himself had already conquered death. He wasn't calling Peter to something that the power of God could not equip him to do. Christ was resurrected, and Christ's victory gives you the power to do this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 says that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus. We're only talking about appropriating the things that God has already promised and guaranteed. United with Christ, made like him, with him we rise. Death holds no fear for us. And so when death approaches, remember the promise of seeing Christ. Remember the glory that awaits us, the absence of affliction, the presence of the saints, and all surpassingly the presence of Christ. And all of a sudden, the sting of death is pulled out. And it's just a bee without a stinger bouncing off your hand. There's no sting, there's no pain there, because what lies ahead swallows it all up in victory. That's the way you approach death to the glory of God. But what about today? How do we bring this to bear? We've looked at the problem, which is the certainty of death. We've looked at the purpose, the glory of God. We've seen the provision that God has given us to triumph in spiritual understanding with those multiple steps that we discussed. So what's the plan for you and me going forward? What's the plan? I love this. It's faithful obedience. You don't have to do anything heroic. If you're walking with Christ, you don't even have to do anything different. Look at what Jesus said in verse 19. He had signified to Peter what kind of death by which he would glorify God. We know now in retrospect that that was 30 years ahead. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." And he repeated it at the end of verse 22. He said, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Christ outlined it for Peter. Between now and the approach of death, what do you do with this? You simply occupy yourself with your daily walk with Christ. You don't have to be a hero. You don't have to do something great that people will remember after you're gone. Where has Christ put you today? That's where you follow him. You follow him in the ordinary details of life. You're faithful to him day by day, simply walking with him, following him wherever his providential leading takes you. You don't have to do anything different if you're already walking with him, because Christ will use your present day faithfulness to prepare you to face death with faithful courage. And you can anticipate, when you think about the coming day of death, you don't have to regard that day with fear and uncertainty and a sense of anxiety. You can look at that day and say, "God, who has ordained my steps up until this time, God will ordain the circumstances surrounding my death in a way, and he will equip me to live through those to his glory." You just trust him for that as well. And then when the time comes, all of the confidence that God's grace has strengthened your heart with, God will be faithful to give you grace for that dying hour. And when you draw that final breath here on earth and you exhale for the final time, you will inhale the air of heaven, where all of the glory that we've talked about will become your present possession, never to be taken away. I hope that as we've talked about these things, you've had a fresh sense of the greatness of what it means to be a Christian. The greatness of the gift that God has given to us. And as good as this life has been, it's going to get a whole lot better.
We hope you've been encouraged to think biblically about the issue of death and that much of the fear of death has been dispelled. Pastor Don Green has more in the series, What Happens When You Die, next time on The Truth Pulpit, so be sure to join us then. Right now, though, here's Don with some exciting ministry news.
Hi, friend. As we close today, I just want to make something available to you. You know, as you listen to these radio broadcasts, they have to fit into a 25-minute format, and we're very grateful for the opportunity the Lord's given us to do just that. But the radio messages are born out of a longer sermon message that contains more information, more background, a fuller explanation of the passage than what we're able to do on radio. So I encourage you to go to our website and find the link that says Follow Don's Pulpit. That'll lead you to a podcast that gives you the full-length sermons from every Sunday and every Tuesday from my pulpit. I really think that it'll minister to you over time to hear the full-length messages, so we make that available for free, and we would love you to join us in that way as well.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com and click on Radio Offers. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we hope you'll join us again next time here on The Truth Pulpit.